We're here on the Mishnah, on the top of Kuf Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. We're talking about a melacha that was done by a guy on Shabbos. Are you allowed to have benefit from it? Nachri Shehidlik Es Haner. If a guy lit a candle on Shabbos for his own purposes, Mishtamesh Lioro Yisrael. The Yisrael is allowed to benefit from the light of the candle because it wasn't done on behalf of the Yisrael. But the Imbishvil Yisrael, if the guy specifically had in mind to light it on behalf of the Jew, that becomes a malach that's somewhat related to the Jew. It's a malach asura, even though it was implemented by a guy, asura lishtamish bioro. And the Chachamim made this gzera that you should not benefit from a maleches nachri on Shabbos. And all this, Rashi points out, is midivrei Chachamim. And Rashi writes that asur li Yisrael lihenos b'motzoi Shabbos mimaleches goy anaseis b'Shabbos ad azman shahoy yochol asoso ilu haya oses ha-malach motzoi Shabbos bi'atzmo kidei shlo yehenu mimaleches goy anaseis b'Shabbos b'shvil Yisrael, so that he would have to wait to enjoy the benefits of that malach until a time period after Shabbos is passed in which he himself, the Jew, could have implemented that malacha. The Mishnah says, Mila Mayim Lahashkos Behemto. So now in this case, the guy takes water and draws it out of the well, which is in a Rishus HaRabim, and he does it for the purpose of giving drink to his own animal. Mashka Achar of Yisrael, the Yisrael is allowed to use the same water to feed his animal, even though it was taken out on Shabbos, but it was taken out by the Nachri. However, all this was done for the Nachri Li Atzmo Bishvil Atzmo. He wanted to feed his own animal. However, V'im Bishvil Yisrael, if the Nachri draws the water from a well in Rishus HaRabim specifically for the purpose of Yisrael, Asur, and the Jew is now enjoined from using this Mashke to feed his animal. He writes here, Asur liYisrael lahashkos mehem es behemto. He can't use this water that was prepared by the guy for the Jew to feed his animal. Hol v'nasis behem malacha shal isur hotza mirshus hayochid l'shus harabim. You know, the bar is in Rishus Hayochid. It itself is Rishus Hayochid, I should say. And when he draws the water out to Rishus Harabim, that's called Maleches Hotzah, and it was done specifically for the Jew. He's not allowed to benefit from it on Shabbos. The Mishnah continues, Asa Nachri Kevesh Lered Bo, so that when the boat docks, you create a plank and you walk down the plank to get to the dry land. Is Yored Achrav Yisrael. Now the guy set up this plank for himself. You're allowed to benefit from it and go off the boat. Again, what exactly is the malacha of creating this kevesh? Let's assume it's malachas binyan, maybe it's makor patish, maybe there are other isurim. But the guy built it for himself, so the Yisrael has no problem in benefiting from it. I often thought that this Mishnah should apply in contemporary life, when you have an electric eye to open up the doors of a hotel or whatever it might be, and the guy goes in, and you could sneak in right behind him while the doors are open. It could be dangerous. You can get caught in between when the doors close. But in any event, the only question here that has to be taken under advisement is the Isur Mukta. Because let's say the wood that the guy uses to create this kevesh is mukta, or are mukta, right? The piece of wood are mukta. And it could be that something that belongs to a guy doesn't have the din of mukta, right? So if the nachri doesn't makatsa daito and it's his, so it's not mukta. But let's say he would cut down these trees in order to make the wood on Shabbos, even though he's doing it for himself, there might be a serious muktzah problem if he created a kevesh. Another issue that has to be discussed is whether a halicha, walking the plank, so to speak, is that called a tiltal? Maybe that's not called muktzah. He's not being metaltal the kevesh. So, for example, you have avonim, which are muktzah and Shabbos, and are you allowed to perhaps sit on the avonim if you don't move them? And l'chora, that should be mutter. He's not being metaltal and he's not moving them. Same thing here in the kevesh. Finally, the Mishnah concludes with a story. And Ma'aseh b'Rav Gamliel, Zkenim shayuboim b'sfina. So they were traveling on a boat on Shabbos. V'yasa nachri kevesh leirid bo, v'yardu bo Rav Gamliel, Zkenim. So this is brought down here and elsewhere in the Mishnah in Erevin. And with regard to a Sfina that's traveling over the seas on Shabbos, usually we don't embark in Olim Mitoch HaLiyabosha, or we don't disembark. However, if it's Toch HaTchum, and it's before, in other words, you have to know the din of me, I'm just mentioning, touching on it, if it's Toch HaTchum HaChalo Choshcha, Mutter. In other words, the case of Rabbi Gamliel is a case where the Sfina was Toch HaTchum before Chashecha. That the Sfina, already on Erev Shabbos, was inside the Tchum. And therefore there's no problem of Tchum. Okay. Now the Gemara goes back to the three different scenarios in which you're allowed to benefit from a Leches Goy on Shabbos. If it was done for the sake of the Goy, that's the Ner, the case of the Mayim, the water that was drawn from the well, and the Kevesh. And the Gemara wants to justify why the Mishnah needs three different scenarios to tell me the same thing. Utzricha, Diyash Minim Ner, if I only had the case of the Ner, the Goy lit a Ner for himself on Shabbos, then I would think that Ner is different. You're allowed to benefit from Mishum de Ner Liach and Ner Lemeya. Because the fact that X number of people will benefit from the Ner is irrelevant as far as the Ner is concerned. 100 people could equally benefit from the Ner. Well, Mayim, in the case where the guy who draws water on Shabbos for his own purposes, maybe there's room for Gzera here to prohibit it. Dilma Asi Lafushe Bishvil Yisrael. Maybe he's going to take out an extra volume of water from the well specifically for the purpose of a Jew. So the Mishnah has to tell me that we're not afraid of such a thing. There's no Gzera. And if the guy fills up his bucket of water for himself, a Jew is allowed to benefit from it. And the flip side is also true. The Mishnah has to tell me the din of Mila Mayim and the din of Ner. And why is that? I would have thought that Mila Mayim is Mutter because there's Ribui Malacha when he draws the water even for Yisrael. But in the case of the Ner, we're not afraid that this Ribui Malacha increases the Malacha for Yisrael, because Ner Liecha Ner Lemeya. So therefore, if he would have lit the candle for both himself and for the Yisrael, we would allow you to benefit from, because the Goy didn't do anything extra for the Yisrael. So the Mishnah tells me, no, it's Osir in that case. Now the Gemara asks for Keves, Lomeli, why Keves Lomeli, why do we have to add the third case of the boat? In that case, it's exactly like a Ner. A Keves is also Ner Liech and Ner Lemeya. So we shouldn't have a Gzera of maybe the Goy is going to make a Keves that's extra for the Yisrael, because one kevesh is certainly enough. So what's the chiddush in the case of kevesh that was made litzorach atzmo shel goy? And the answer is maisa de Rav Gamliel uzkenim kamashman. This was only an introduction to the story of the Zkenim who went with Rabbi Gamliel. And we're going to learn from that case, from that story, Halacha L'maisa. So the Mishnah introduces it by telling you what the din is in the case of a Kevesh, and now continues with the story of Rabbi Gamliel in order to teach us Halacha L'maisa. Now the Gemara thinks at this point that the reason that let me postpone my comment. I don't think we're up to it yet. Anyway, let's go on. Tanu Rabbana, we learned in a braisa, Nachri Shaliket Asavim. Now the guy on Shabbos is detaching grass in order to feed his animal the grass. Machil Achrav Yisrael. If there's any leftover Asavim, then he's allowed the Jew to feed his animal. However, if im liket enoch yasom b'shvil Yisrael, then it's asur, because we're dealing with Melechas Ketzira here. Now the same law applies in the case of enochi shemila mayim in abor, lashkos bem, to mashka achra of Yisrael, so the Jew can take the leftover water and use it to feed his animal. The im b'shvil Yisrael, unless the nochri took the water, drew the water out of the well, specifically for the Yisrael. And then, Osir Yisrael Lenos Mihem. A Jew is not allowed to benefit from. Bamedvar Mamurim. When do we say that if the guy detached the grass or filled up the water for himself, the Yisrael is allowed to benefit from it? That's only She'ein HaNochri Makiro, that the guy doesn't know him. Aval Makiro, if the guy knows the Jew, Osir Li Yisrael Lehenos Mimaleches Goy. This is the braisa that says that this heter, that the guy was working on his own behalf, doing the melacha for himself, that heter is very restricted to a case where ein hanochri makiro. And here's where I wanted to make my comment before. The Gemara thinks now at this point that the reason in the case of makiro that's also is we're afraid maybe the guy did the melacha for the Israel. He knows him, they're friendly. So the Gemara is going to now ask Akasha on the Maisa that we learned in Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel got off the boat and he climbed down the Kevesh, even though the Kevesh was produced on Shabbos by the Goy. And let's assume that the Nochri recognized. He knew Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel was a very well-known personality, and he's traveling on the boat. So therefore, how would Rabbi Gamliel be mutter to benefit from the melacha of the guy? Now, according to the maskon of the Gemara, in the case of a kevesh, since it's similar to the case of a ner, and we say the principle of ner liyecha, ner lemeya, even if the guy knows the Jew, and he does the melacha even for the Jew is allowed to benefit from it. Because there's no iser hanah in the case of makiro, even though it's a case of makiro, unless we're afraid that there was a specific malacha that was done or might be done on behalf of the Israel. But here in the case of the kevesh, which is ne'el yechad el-lemea, there's no such chash, so therefore even in the case of makiro, it would be mutar. Any, so the Gemara asks the question, is this restriction really so? That, no, just the other way around. The Gemara now is asking on the heter, right? That if the guy detached the grass for himself, then the Israel is allowed to benefit from it. Ha Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Chanina, Maimid Ona Behemta Al Gabi Asov B'Shabbes, Avolo Al Gabi Muktzah B'Shabbes. He's allowed to set up his animal to eat from the grass on Shabbos, even though the animal will pull out the grass from the karka. And this is not called a violation of Shvisas Behemto, because the animal is simply eating, and it's not nice to deny the animal the food that he needs, like Tzar Bal Chaim Doraisa. However, Lo Al Gavi Muktza B'Shabbes, he's not allowed to put his animal on top of Muktza. Why? Because we're afraid that maybe he, the Jew himself, will grab from the Muktza to give it to the animal. Now, in the case of the Asavim, that we spoke about in this braisa, where the goy detaches the grass on Shabbos, that grass clearly, as mechubar, is muktzah. So how could the Yisrael take that grass and give it to his animal? So the Gemara answers that we're not talking about a case where he's standing with his animal in front of the grass, and the animal is going to eat the grass. In such a case, we have to have a gzera that he may violate the isur muktzah and take the grass into his hands in order to feed it to the animal. The heter here is only in a case of the koyim lo biapa, which means that he's standing in front of the animal and he's guiding the animal that it shouldn't go this way or that way. V'ozlahi, and the animal goes on its own volition, v'ochla, and it's eating from the grass. So in such a case, it's mutter, and we don't have to be afraid that maybe he's going to pick up the muktza and violate the iser muktza. Okay, so the Jew is standing in front of the animal, and he blocks its path, so the animal would not turn aside and wander off. And since the Jew is not standing near the pile of grass, he's at a distance, therefore there's not a chash, there's no fear that he might grab a handful of grass, which is muktzah, and feed it to it. Okay. Now let's keep in mind that although his animal is eating the grass, he's not moving the grass. Is that also a violation of muktzah? Because he's benefiting from muktzah. And I guess the answer must be that if he himself is not in any way actively benefiting from the muktzah, the animal is moving on its own volition, then it's okay. Now the Gemara goes back to the Braisa. Omar Mar, the Braisa establishes, Bamed Mamurim, She'ein Makiro Makiro Osur, Haram Gamliel Makiro Hava, Omar Abai Shalom Befanav Hava. And Rava says, Afilu Tema Befanav is Ne'eliach and Ne'elimeah. So the discussion that we had earlier was built on Rava. According to Abaye, the guy, when he made the Kevesh, it was Shalom Befanav. In other words, Rav Gamliel wasn't around. And therefore, since Rav Gamliel wasn't there, we have no doubt that the guy has no interest here in building the Kevesh for a Yisrael, or in this case, for Rav Gamliel. Rava says that I don't care even if Rav Gamliel was there and he was present, he'd still, Rav Gamliel, be allowed to go down the plank, because ne'er liach and ne'er lemeah. Notice there's no specific malach, as we said before, that is done or could be done on behalf of the Yisrael. The guy is not going to make the plank any larger or any wider because there's the Yisrael that he knows. And therefore, he's allowed to benefit from the Kevesh, even though the guy made it on Shabbos and knows the Jew. So the Gemara has a kash on Rava, Meisve. Let's go back to the case of Rav Gamliel. Omar lehem Rav Gamliel, he turns to his kainim and he says to them, Hoel v'shalo b'faneinu aso'o. The guy made this kevesh and we weren't around, is therefore nered bo. According to Rava, why did Rav Gamliel need that introduction that it was aso shalo b'fano? Forget about that. It's mutter even if it would have been b'fano. And the reason for that is because it's ner l'necha ner l'meya. Amos, the Gemara says, we have to reinterpret the words of Rav Gamliel, Hoel v'aso'o nered bo. And it's not because of asor shalo b'fanav, shalo b'fnei Rav Gamliel, but simply aso'o, meaning he made it for himself. Toshma, now we have a kasha from a Mishnah that seems to support nobody, meaning it seems to be irreconcilable both for Abaye and for Rav. Toshma, this is a Mishnah in the second perek of Machshirim, Ir She Yisrael V'Nochrim Dorim B'Socha, so you have a mixed population of Jews and non-Jews in a city, V'Hoysov Amerchatz Amarchetzes, and there was a bathhouse and a sauna, so people would heat up their bodies in this bathhouse, B'Shabbos. In other words, it was functioning on Shabbos. And now you ask yourself the question, well, all the malacha that went into heating up the water, was that done by the goyim for the sake of the goyim, and therefore I can benefit from it. Im rov, in most of the people who use that merchatz are nochrim, then we can assume that the water was heated up for the nochrim is mutul lichavots ben miyad. Then the Jew is allowed to go into the Beis HaMerchatz. Now, what does it mean miyad immediately? Here, we have to qualify this, because the word miyad means miyad b'motzoi Shabbos. We don't have to wait the amount of time it would take for the Jew to heat up the water. On Shabbos itself, we have a prohibition, which we spent a lot of time with on back in Perkira, of osur lirchotz b'merchatz. Even water that was heated up on Erev Shabbos, you're not allowed to bathe in hot water on Shabbos. And that was the famous Gzeirah the Chachamim of prohibiting Rechitza Bebaim Chamin on Shabbos, even if the water was heated on Erev Shabbos, Mishum Gzeirah Sabalonim, if you recall. So now, Miyad means immediately after Shabbos. However, the Mishnah in Machshirin continues, Im Rov Yisrael, if most of the people who use this Beis HaMerchatz are Jews, then we have to assume that the water was heated up by the Goyim on behalf of the Jews. That's who they had in mind. Is then Yamtin, he should wait Motzei Shabbos before he goes into the bath, b'chdei shi'chamu chamin, the amount of time it would take to heat up the water for rechitza, for washing purposes. He should not go into the Beis HaMerchatz immediately, because then he will benefit from a Beleches Nochri that was done for the Yisrael. And when we say done for the Yisrael, it means that since the city is made up of a majority, the Beis HaMerchatz is designated, or we anticipate it to be used by a majority of Jews, is therefore, it's a situation which the guy heated up the merchatz for the Rov Yisrael. And it's as if he knows them, although he doesn't know them. Now this is a question on Rava, because Rava holds that even in the case of a guy who recognizes the Jew, he knows the Jew, if he does the malacha, then we don't have to be choshesh of Shema Yarba Bishvilo, and the Jew is allowed to benefit from it. Now in the case of Mayim, that's heated up in the merchatz, then it's done for many people. So we should apply the principle of Ner Liech and Ner Lemea. So why would it be Osur to benefit from this Merchatz on Motzi Shabbos, B'chdei Sheyase, B'chdei Sheyachum HaMayim, when Rov the Rochtzim Ba Yisrael? Why should that be Osur, according to Rava? We should apply, according to Rava, the principle of Ner Liech and Ner Lemea. The Gemara goes on and asks the Kash on Abai as well. Abai holds that the guy who knows the Jew, and if he does the Malacha Shalom B'fanav, then it's Mutter. Here's a case of Shalom B'fanav. The guy wasn't heating up the Merchatz in the presence of the Jew, so why would we also Lehenos Mimenu? And the Gemara answers, Hosam ki Mechameme Adaiti Deruba Mechameme. Is Mechameme Sam Merchatz Avur Rov? They have in mind when they heat up the merchatz for most of the people who are going to use the merchatz, and the rov here in this case is Yisrael. So the chil Shabbos of heating the water was done for Yisrael, and therefore the Chachamim said, we're not going to allow you to use this. Why? We have to wait until after Shabbos, you know, the period of time it would have taken you to heat it up on your own. However, another malacha, which was done by a guy for a Jew, even if it was done also for a Jew, is then we could say that the Ikar Asiyah was done for the guy himself. He wants the benefit from it. Therefore, Abai is going to allow it when it's Shalom B'fanav. Rav is going to allow it, even if it's B'fanav, if there's Ner Liech and Ner Lemea, there's no Chashash of Ribui Avor Yisrael. But in this case of the Merchatz, now we're talking about a Malacha that was Be'ikar done, not for the Goy, and the Jew secondary will benefit from the Shirayim, but rather was done fundamentally for the Jew. Toshma, we have a Braisa, Ner Hadolok B'Mesiba, you have a Ner that was lit by a Goy on Shabbos, in a place where many people, many chaburos, are sitting around. Im Rov, if though most of the people are sitting around there in that public area are Nachrim, then the Jew is allowed to benefit from the Or Mutal Shtam Shavu Rov Yisrael. If most of the people sitting out there in the Mesiba in this party are Jews, then Osir, then the Jew is not allowed to enjoy the benefit from it. Because once again, the premise is that even though Ner Liech and Ner Lemeya, the lamp was lit for the Jew, that's what the Goy had in mind. If it was Mechtzal Mechtza, what happens if you have 50% Jews, 50% non-Jews, is Osir. You're not allowed to be Mishtamish Liora. Now, let's go back to Rava. Rava said that even in the case where the Goy recognizes the Jew, but if there's Ner Liech and Ner Lemeir, there's no chash of Ribui, so then, again, if it's Rov Yisrael, we can use the same answer that we gave before. But if it's Mechtzal Mechtza, then it seems that the Goy is lighting the candle for Goyim. So what's the Yisrael in that case? So Gemara says that Hasam, in the case of that great Mesiba B'nei Adam, Nami, there too, it's like the case of the Merchatz, Ki Madliki, when they lit the light, the Ner, now we're going to turn to Kufchav Beis Amid Beis, is Adaiti Deruba Madlike. They had in mind the majority of those people. And in this case, the majority of the people were Yisrael. Okay, so if the guy lights a candle for himself and for the purpose of another Yisrael, then we have this principle that the Ikar Adlaka was for his own purposes, for the guy. And since it's Ner Liech and Ner Lemeir, Rav is going to be Matir, enjoying the benefit, even in the case of Makiro, and Abai in the case of Shalom Bafana. But here, this is not a case where the Goy is lighting it for himself. He's lighting it for the people who are part of the Mesiba, and most of the people are Jewish. Again, how that kicks in the case of Mechtzal Mechtza, let's call it a Suffolk. And you can't know if the lighting was done for the Jews who were sitting there, for the Goy who were sitting there. We have to be Machmir Mitzad Safek. Now, it could be that in the case of Mechtzal Mechtza, we're not allowed to benefit from the Meleches Goy, because there's definitely, on the one hand, a Melech that's done by the Goy, but also for the Jew, because it's Mechtza Yisraelim. So that element of Kavana, for the sake of the Jew, kicks in and sets up the Malach as the Malach that's done for the Jew. Now the Gemara brings a story about Hana benefiting from a Ner that was lit by a Goy on Shabbos. Shmuel Ikla Lebei Ovin. Shmuel was by chance upon a visit to the house of Ovin, who came from the city of Toron. And Asahu Nachri, a guy came along, Adlik Shraga, and he lit a candle. Adrinu Shmuel Yapi, Shmuel turned around. Notice he didn't want to benefit from the Nair. He thought for sure the guy was lighting it in his honor, and you're not allowed to benefit from a Meleches guy that was done specifically for the Jew. But came under Chazi the IC Shtar, the Kakari lay. Then he noticed that the guy brought some sort of a document, let's say brought his own newspaper along, and he reads the newspaper to the light of the Or. Omar Shmuel declared, Adaiti Nafshi Udad. Obviously, he lit it for himself. I see it now. He needed the light. Is there Fajrinu? Iu Ape Gabi Shraga. Now he turned around and looked towards the candle, and he was able to benefit from it. Hajran Alecha Kol Kisvei. So we're up to the 17th parak, Kol HaKelim, and now we're getting heavy into the dinim of Muktzah, and specifically to the dinim of what's called a Kli Shemalachto LeIsur. Muktzah is something that was specifically excluded for Shabbos use, so there's no possible Hachana. A Kli Shemalachto LeIsur is a little bit different, because that's a Kli, and it wasn't excluded for use on Shabbos, but it was designated for something that you don't do on Shabbos, like a pen, you know, to write with. Now, exactly how shall we say, how historically, how early in Jewish history was the Isur Mukta established, or if we could say enacted. So if you remember, we had a Gemara back on Daf Lamed Beis when David HaMelech passed on Shabbos itself, and he was in the sunlight. Shmuel asked the question to the Beis Medrash whether he's allowed to move the Mita of David out of the sun into the Tzel. And the premise of that whole back and forth was that a mess, a corpse, is called Mukta. And this already is back in the time of David and Shlomo HaMelech. And maybe it predates even David and Shlomo. So, we have to go back to Yemei Kedem when we talk about the Isur Mukts of something that's not Roy on Shabbos. Classic case would be Avonim or Ofar. And we're not allowed to move it. And we're only allowed to move things on Shabbos that are Ru'uyim for Shabbos. Now, there's an issue about something that's Roy for Shemush on Shabbos, but he's moving it Shalol Tzar Klal. He doesn't have any need for it. So that has to be taken under advisement. People play around with their spoons. Question is whether that's allowed, just to move it around. Maybe if he has nervous tension, then it's no worse than a Rubik's Cube or something. Anyway, now fast forward to the period of Nehemiah ben Chachalia, which is the beginning of the period of the second Beis HaMikdash. And at that point, as we'll soon see, it was a Dar Parutz. They were Mezalzel and Isuri Shabbos. The Chachamim got up and they added to the Isur Mukta what's called the Gzeres Kalim. And they said, you're not allowed to move any kelim. Even a kli, which is malachto leheter, no, we're not going to allow to use it. But as the generations went on, and the Chacham saw that the Dar was becoming more careful about Shemir Shabbos, they slowly but surely loosened the belt, and they extended the heter one level at a time. One heter after the other. Finally, at the end of all the periods of heterim, they made a statement that kol ha-kelim nitolim b'Shabbos, all kelim can be moved on Shabbos. Chutz, the only exception, is meser ha-gadol v'yosei tshel machresha. So we're talking about a hammer, a sledgehammer. We're talking about a plow or part of a plow. And this is what remains, if we can call it the shirayim, from the original Isur of Kol HaKelim. Now, even after they established a Heter for almost all the Kelim that are included in the original all-encompassing Gzeres HaKelim, there are still Dinim that are left from the original Gzeres, still vestiges. And that's the subject of this parak that we're about to learn. And for example, if you fast forward to Kuf Chav Gimel Amid Beis, there are three types of tiltel. There's one type of tiltel that's called a tzarch gufo, the other is called a tzarch mekomo, and the third is mechama letzel. So we're going to go through, in Mirtz Shem, those categories as we move through the 16th parak of Shabbos. The 17th parak of Shabbos, sorry. Now, with regard to kelim, let's just make an introduction and categorize. There are, number one, there's a kli shemalachta leheter, meaning it's tashmish is for something that you're allowed to use on Shabbos. There's a kli shemalachta leiser, which is pretty much singularly dedicated to a malacha. There's kelim that are mukta machmas chisar and kis, they're very expensive, we don't want to move it around and use them. And these are the various kelim that we're going to talk about in this perek, and the dinim of mukta with regard to these kelim. There's also an additional concept that we've touched on in the past, which is a kli that in and of itself is a kli heter, but it's a basis ledavar asur. So in other words, before Shabbos, he put on top of this kli something which is mukta, and this kli is servicing, is functioning in the capacity of a base for that mukta. Now, let's get to our Mishnah, when we're talking about something that's not royal shimush on Shabbos, for example, talk about Bali Chaim, we don't use animals on Shabbos, or Mos, we don't use coins, currency on Shabbos, Dover Shein Olav Shem Kli Klal, you could talk about Eitz and Vavonim, or Ofar, that don't have a Shem Kli at all. All of the above are Mukta, and they're also Vitiltul. However, later on in this perek, we're going to talk about Shivrei Kelim, and although Shivrei Kelim L'chora should be Mukta, no less than Ofar, but nevertheless, we're going to allow you to move these Shivrei Kelim if they have some sort of suitability for some sort of Malacha. And our Mishnah is going to talk about Tiltul of Delosos, which literally translates as doors, and they were taken off, and now, what is the status of these doors? So the Mishnah opens by saying, Kol HaKelim Nitolim B'Shabbos V'Dalsoseim Imoim. The type of Dlosos, of doors that we're talking about, is what's called Shida, Teva, Umigdal. You know, different types of closets, and chests, and we have a heter to move these, again, we're not talking about mechubel karka, we're talking about kelim, these kinds of ashida table, you're allowed to move it, and you're allowed to move their delosos imoim. So they have, on the side of the shida, you have a door, and you're allowed to use that door and move it, and we don't say the doors are muks, afopishin is parku, even if they were taken off. And right now, you cannot use it for the malacha. Right? They're not mechubaros l'kli, so usually the doors are somehow functioning on behalf of the closet or whatever it is. But here, the Mishnah explains, she'enom domim l'dalsos habayis. These dlosos that are used in the context of kelim are not like doors of homes. In the case of a door of a home, if it comes off its hinges, then you're not allowed to be metaltel lefi shedlosos enom minamuchan. In other words, it's not like the delosos of kelim, the delosos of abayis are not muchanim letiltel like shar kelim are concerned. They were only there in order to be connected to the house, and if they're disconnected from the house, they're no longer mechubar, then it doesn't have a Torah's kli. It doesn't have any function. But the losos ha-kelim are part of the kli itself. And just like there's a Torah's kli and a heter tiltul mukta in the kli itself, anything that's associated, attached to the kli, or functions for the kli, is likewise considered included in that umbrella organization called Torah's kli and mutal etaltul. Now the Mishnah goes on to speak about tiltul in a case of a kli shemalachta le'isur. First we have what's called a tzar kufo, notal adam kurnus lefatzea bo esai gozim. So you can take the sledgehammer, which is a classic case of a kli shemalachta le'isur, and he can use it to break open walnuts. That's called a tzar kufo. Now in Mux itself, I don't know if a tzar kufo would be enough. But here we're talking about kelim. Kardom, right, he has some sort of a saw. Lachto posa dvela. He wants to cut up that date cake that he has, which is a gigantic, you know, gush. It's something solid. He wants to cut it up with this very sharp and powerful knife. And he's allowed to do so, because that's a tzar kufo. Megera. Now we're talking about a kind of a saw. Not an axe, but a saw. So a kardom is more of an axe. Now we're talking about a magera, which is a saw. It's like a sakin sheyeshbo harbe pegimos, and he wants to use it to cut logur basagvina, to cut cheese. I hope it's parva knife. Anyway, and he's allowed to do so, even though the magrefa would be a classical case. I'm sorry, the Megera would be a classical case of a kli shemalachta le'isur. Right, it's used for, let's say, chopping wood. And in my grefa, which is a kind of also a kind of a shovel, a big spoon, a gigantic spoon, is ligrof ba'es hagrogros. He can use it to spoon up the figs, the dried figs from the chavis. You want to, right, use a big spoon, and you're allowed to use this spoon, even though it's a klishim lachtolisa, but it's mutl tzor kufo. And then he's allowed to take the rachas, which is a kind of a platform, a luach, which he uses normally to sift out the psoles from the chita, which is again a klishim lachto le'isur. That's a malgeiz. Okay, we'll talk about a malgeiz in just a minute, but lasseis olav lekatan. So he wants to use it to feed a child. So in the case of a rachas, right, we put onto this platform the food to feed the child. It's like a high chair for a child. And then we get to something called a malgeiz. So let's just see if we can find an English translation of the word malgeiz. And he calls it a pitchfork. So you have the winnowing platform or shovel, and now he has a pitchfork, and he wants to use the fork to put food on it for a child. And that's again litzor kufa, and it's mutter. Es ha kush. Okay, what's a kush? He calls it a pelach shebo tvias hanoshim. It's a spindler's reed that's used for weavers, weaving, which is ariga, it's a klishim lachtalis, about karkar, and that's a kind of a reed that has a spear, a sharp end to it, and he uses it to separate, not in this case, but normally he uses it for separating the chutim, the threads that got tangled, so that you're not allowed to do some loch on Shabbos. And now he's using it to spear a piece of fruit. And then he has a litchov bow. Okay, that means to puncture a fruit. And machat shel yad. Now he has a needle, which again is classical klisha loch alisa. It's litfiris begodim. It's one of the melochas. And litavos hakotz. He wants to use it to remove a splinter or shel sakoim. Now he has a different kind of a machat, which is used by sack makers, and he wants to use liftofos adelis. He lost his key and he wants to open up his door with this needle, and he's allowed to do so. So all this is based on the heter of litzor gufo. So Mirtz Hashem will stop here and we'll start the Gemara in the next shir. And the Gemara starts here, Kol HaKelim Nitolim, Afal Pishnis Parku B'Shabbos, V'lo Mi Boi B'Chol.